Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your fine quality kayak fishing needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lights, go to pelican.com. And the 153 Bait Company. For all your hard, soft plastic bait needs, go to the 153anglers.com. Now let's talk about some awesome products.
What's up, the final cast? I'm Brad.
What's up, Brad? I didn't think you're going to bring us in there. We're just going to sit backstage for the episode.
I know. It's been a couple weeks. Good to be back.
Dude, I ran it last week by myself, and it wasn't too bad, but I ended up forgetting to put the clothes in there. And I was like, hey, Brian, I think I forgot to do the clothes, and I didn't take everybody out at the beginning or take the other guy out. And so it was a kind of a little bit of a mess, but it wasn't too bad. So
it's all good. I messed up this week, so it's all good. But so, yeah, how's everything been?
Same old, man. Just working. Yeah. Try to get the kids out in the kayak this weekend, but we actually took a ride over to the GMR to put eyes on it first and realized it was a little high. They had the dam area locked off. So,
yeah,
I mean, we would have been all right. It wasn't like real bad, and the area's not hard to navigate, but it is what it is. And, you know, they were kind of misbehaving. So
yeah, like, I was bummed. I wasn't able to get on the river much either. So
yeah,
that's whatever. Well, we got a cool episode for you guys tonight. We're going to talk about the NRS inflatables, the Star, Rival, Challenger, and the Pike, I think. So I met Blake Longworth last week when we met up at Loveland Canoe and Kayak. So we're bringing him on the show to talk about the products. Welcome to the show, man.
Hooday! Oh, I thought we were. I'm sorry. I thought we were on my football podcast. This is the fishing one.
You got a football podcast?
I mean, I'll start one if I get to talk trash about the Bengals beating the Steelers.
That's right.
Yeah, the Reds smacked up on the Pirates today. I'm sorry. We can't talk about
that. That's not even like.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Pirates suck.
If only hockey was going on and the Blue Jackets were beating the Pens, and then we could just keep rubbing Brad's face into it.
So it'd be so lovely.
Never happens either. So it's like,
and then the whole time we're just making you watch college football with your eyes taped open. Because he doesn't like college football. So
what's that like about? All right, I'm not gonna get into this. Thanks for having me, guys. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Heck yeah. You want to start off letting the listeners know a little bit about yourself and what you do for NRS?
Oh, I don't think they want to hear too much about me. I am the Northeast and Upper Midwest Wholesale Account Manager for NRS, which is just a really long way to say that I'm a sales rep. I have been with NRS for almost 16 years now. My first job with the company was pushing a cart in the warehouse and putting products in the bin to get shipped out. And yeah, all these years later, I've made it all the way up to lower level wholesale sales representation. So it's been a great ride. No, man, it's great. We love NRS. NRS is a great company. You guys may or may not know this, but NRS is actually 100% employee owned. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have a sales rep from the company on your podcast today, you're actually speaking with an owner of NRS yeah. tonight. So it's, you know, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's cool.
We're blessed.
Yeah. How does that work though?
What's that?
100% employee owned. How does that work?
Oh yeah. Okay. So, we're an organization. It's called an ESOP. So an employee stock option program. So our founder, Bill Parks, he founded the company in 1972 with $2,000 in his garage, just trying to get paddling equipment out to his friends. A few years back in 2014, Bill was kind of trying to figure out his exit strategy. He's getting kind of older. It was really NRS is a second career for him. He was a professor of economics and finance at the University of Oregon when he founded the company, and then later went to the University of Idaho, and that's how the company came to Moscow, Idaho. But yeah, rather than selling to private equity or another company, Bill decided to actually sell the company to the employees. So we founded the ESOP as a legal entity and borrowed money from the bank and actually bought the company from Bill. So every share that's held in the company now is held by an employee. You know, depending on how long you've been there and all that kind of stuff, you get more or less shares. But yeah, there's nobody that owns shares of NRS that is not an employee of the company.
That's cool.
It's awesome. Yeah. It gives us all like a lot of pride and ownership, and we've always had a great culture at NRS. I mean, it's an amazing place to work, but this just adds so much more to it, so much more depth.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that kind of a hint of it in some corporations where they have like a profit sharing or something to that effect, sure. or stock options, but it tends to be on the really extremely light side. And it's cool that you guys have made it like 100% like that, because, you know, NRS is a great company. We've all, you know, especially for the kayak anglers, we've been familiar with them for quite some time. And, you know, I've always been a huge fan of their products and what they stood for. And, you know, that's just kind of icing on the cake, because it kind of gives those employees that extra push to really work hard, really be proud, like you said, be proud of the company, be proud of what they do, and have pride in, you know, even as a simple job as, you know, order picking, you know what I mean? Because it's just going to benefit them more to make the company as successful as possible. You know, like it's real easy to see those companies where you get your butt kicked all day and it's like, oh, we have bonuses, but, or this or that, but it's like really light and it's, you know, it just doesn't necessarily translate well a lot of times in your workforce. So I give, you know, tip my hat to the NRS, because it's definitely a great way of looking at it. I mean, obviously NRS isn't like this huge corporation, but you guys are a big part of the paddling community, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's very, very little people, or, you know, very few people that don't know what NRS is, you know?
Yeah.
So keep it up, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yes. That's we are super proud of the company, and it's funny, you know, you say, you know, not many people don't know NRS. And I think in paddle sports, you know, if you came from the kayaking world, the rafting world, you know, you've been getting on the water with human powered recreation for a long time. That's absolutely true. And, mm-hmm. you know, NRS is a big player in paddle sports. And it's been funny as we've kind of started getting into fishing the last 10, 15 years, really the last 10 years and in earnest, the last kind of eight. Mm-hmm. Boy, we are a tiny company when it comes to fishing. You know, you know, as far as life jackets and inflatable watercraft go, sure, we're one of the big names. You go to ICAST, go to a big fishing show, and it's like, Now, who are you guys again?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we used to go to, I mean, even we used to go to OR. It was kind of fun because, like, we kind of get big for our britches. And, you know, I don't know why I would ever feel that way. My first desk at the company was, you know, some piece of particle board that was put together in the back of the warehouse. Like, we didn't have a real sales floor. It was just like this carpeted area in the back. Now we have a big fancy headquarters that I've never once been to, but it looks real nice in the pictures. I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to going there someday when the pandemic is over. But yeah, it's been a great company to work for. And I tell you, pride in your work has been an incredible thing this year, because I tell you, as a salesperson, I really couldn't do anything wrong throughout the last 18, 24 months. You know, kayaks have been selling themselves. Mm-hmm. Life jackets have been selling themselves. You know, all the things that go along with it. It's not been hard to sell outdoor recreation. What has been a huge challenge has been our teams in the warehouse packing orders, shipping out mm-hmm. orders, working those long hours, doing the returns and the repairs, and like trying to, you know, our people that are on the back end of our sales team trying to move product around and, you know, do fulfillment. Like, oh my God, I don't think if we had an ESOP that people, we would have been able to keep, you know, half of our employees. It's just, It's been a tough row to hoe for a lot of people. And I'm not really one of those people, but man, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a company right now.
Yeah.
So Shout out to all my other NRS brothers and sisters out there. We love you guys. You guys are doing great.
Yeah, it's been a crazy time for everybody across the whole industry. Even in the construction industry, I do remodeling work, and it's ridiculous right now.
Right, a pickup bed full of lumber. You can retire on that now. It's like there's no such thing as scrap wood anymore. Yeah, like right. it is stuff that's worth its weight.
Heck, cabinet makers. I mean, they're like 3 months behind. So like all of our jobs, we have like five or six unfinished jobs right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a wild time. So we feel really blessed to be on this side of it, and you know, working for a company that's taking care of its employees. We didn't have to let anybody go through the early days of the pandemic, and then obviously We've been trying to do everything we can just to keep up with the business. So it's we feel very, very fortunate.
That's awesome. Well, you want to start getting into the inflatables?
Absolutely, I love talking about inflatable watercraft. At NRS, I don't know if we're the king of much, but I think we have to be up there in the running for king of inflatable watercraft. And I love talking about them. So, Brad, you just got Arrival, right?
Yep.
How are you liking it?
I like it a lot. I've been out on it three times. I haven't even put the skeg on yet, by the way. I've just been.
Well, you've just been on the Little Miami, right?
Great Miami.
You've been on the Great Miami. Okay.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I mean, I've been impressed with it stability-wise, and think paddle's awesome. Like I told you, I was going down through riffles, and then one slight paddle stroke, I was turned 180 degrees, and I made this perfect cast into the perfect spot with a topwater lure, and the fish just slammed it right when it hit the water. I was like, I could never do that again if I tried. But it made me feel like a pro. I was like, yeah, that was awesome.
I know that feeling. I'm a terrible angler, so I don't know it from a fishing perspective. But I was coaching my four-year-old daughter's soccer practice earlier tonight, and I kicked it into the goal from a corner kick. You know, I bent it like Beckham, and I was like, 10 more tries. 10 misses guaranteed, no doubt. So that's the closest I have for that. The inflatables are great, right? I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. I love a big plastic fishing kayak, right? Pick your manufacturer. I've enjoyed paddling or pedaling or ring, all of them. I've enjoyed them. But there's something about an inflatable, right? Like you're not worried about sliding it over the wrong kind of a rock. You know, it's light, it's easy to move. You can get it in and out like on top of your car or roll it up. You know, for us, I think the Rival, the Challenger are these great watercraft for getting on any kind of water. But I think what we really love about them coming as a Northwest company is kind of this idea of like adventure angling. the ability to get to a put in that you absolutely cannot get to with your truck and trailer. You know, hiking into a remote stream or lake to fish, that kind of stuff is what really gets us excited. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for that everyday angler, even if they don't want to do that, the idea that I can roll this thing up and check it on a plane and travel somewhere and go on a fishing trip, mm-hmm. we love them. So the Rival, it's interesting. We call it an inflatable sit on top. I don't know what makes it more of a sit on top than a regular inflatable kayak. I've never had a deck on an inflatable kayak before, but it's kind of this cool, you know, hybrid with that drop stitch floor. I mean, I don't know if you've had the chance yet, but have you been able to stand up and cast that boat?
Oh, yeah.
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
I don't think a lot of people expect that kind of stability out of an inflatable.
Oh, I didn't. I thought there'd be some give to it, but I mean, it's just like standing on a paddleboard.
Yeah, a drop stitch is tremendous.
Yeah, and that was one thing I was going to bring up. I'll have to pull up the.
Challengers. I mean, that's just a smaller one than the Rival. It's the same right. Idea there.
Yeah, I'm gonna find the drop stitch page and I'm gonna bring it up because I do want to talk about that. But if you want to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So I mean, really, like the anatomy of the Rival and the Challenger are essentially the same, right? You're just talking about a different length between the boats. So the Rival is 12 feet 6 inches long, and the Challenger. You get that in the, sure I'd say it right, 10 feet, 8 inches. And so the anatomy is basically the same. You've got a drop stitch floor that goes down the middle of the boat and then two side tubes that you can also inflate and give you, you need to inflate and give you additional stability. You don't really need the buoyancy that they provide, but really what it does is gives you that side-to-side stability when you're in the boat. So you're never worried about, you know, leaning a little bit too far out of the boat and having it tip over on you. They're really hard to flip, especially in anything, yeah. You know, other than, you know, something below class 3 whitewater.
Right. I was going to mention that too. Like I don't feel unsafe on that thing at all. I'd be surprised if that thing like completely does a flip, you know?
No, I think unless you dragged it over on top of you falling out, you're going to fall out of the boat and it's going to right itself and, you know, continue on downstream for sure.
Yeah.
Which is great because it's self-rescue super easy. You just literally just climb back onto it.
Yeah. It's light enough to where you can just flip it over real quick if it does.
Oh man. Or literally like, you know, swim with it to shore. If you're in deep water, you can just literally just swim and just drag it behind you. There's not the Rival's the big one. I think it comes in at like a whopping 31 pounds. And much like the person that asked me this question at a trade show one time, it weighs the exact same inflated as it does deflated.
Oh, okay.
That was a real question I had. She said, how much does it weigh? I said, 31 pounds. And she said, well, how much is it inflated? I was like, well, it's full of air.
still 31.
I didn't fill it up with sand. That would be,
or you're like, or helium. It just starts floating away.
That would be awesome. I think NRS should really change to airship construction. That would be way more fun. But yeah. So we're looking at a cross section of drop stitch here, and that's exactly what it is. It's kind of hard to see. That looks more like you've taken a slice of cheese.
Yeah.
But what you're seeing there is a majillion threads that connect the top layer of fabric with the bottom layer of fabric. So like anything else you've ever inflated in your life, if you did not have that drop stitch, if you just didn't have those threads holding those two layers flat and a uniform distance from one another, it would just turn into a hot dog, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So drop stitch, it does give us the ability to go much higher pressure because we're holding our layers of fabric together. But more importantly, it's what allows us to start to shape these things into flat shapes, as opposed to, you know, every inflatable before drop stitch was the exact same construction. It was a round tube. And then maybe you did an I-beam floor to kind of give you small hot dogs to sit on top of. Mm-hmm. And with drop stitch, we were really able to start making boats that looked a lot different than any inflatable we'd seen before. It was cool. The first one we made was one called the Gig Bob, which had the silliest name, but was a cool little personal rowing boat. Super fun. You could take the bottom pontoons off and turn it into a kick boat if you wanted to fish that way. The Gig Bob was a lot of fun. We still have it. It's still around.
So basically, the drop stitch is creating that rigidness in between the layers. And
it is.
Helps hold the form instead of the, you know, the top layer. Say you're standing on it, it's not going to allow it to concave in whatsoever.
Right.
It's going to kind of, well, I mean, might have a little press to it, but it's going to still hold its shape, as opposed to, like you said, you get on something that's just, you know,
just a pool toy.
Yeah, just a pool toy. The first thing you always laugh about is you see people jump on those things and they just fold around them. So, yeah.
Right. And so that's what drop stitch does. Two things. One, it gives us the shape, but it allows us to inflate it to a pressure that can withstand our weight. Right. So that's the big thing too, right? You know, so you talk about it, a raft. Which we've been fishing out of for a long time, you know, fly fishing out west out of rafts is very common. You know, the tubes of a raft are usually between 2.5-3 PSI. On an inflatable stand-up paddle board, you know, NRS boards are rated to a 20 PSI. Now, you don't need to do that with the Rival or the Challenger because you have those side tubes and you're not, you know, you have extra support there. So we tell people to do the floor on the Challenger, the Rival, to about 8 PSI. 8 mm-hmm. to 10 is going to be more than enough. And then the side tubes are also going to be at that, like, that 2.5-3 range.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the floor here, Josh, this floor, even like at the lowest 8 PSI, is incredibly tough. Like, I was impressed. You tap on it, it sounds like what I'm tapping on my desk right now. I mean,
yeah, that's awesome. I mean,
there's not much play to it. It's pretty impressive.
Now, is there a difference in like the floor and the bottom material versus like with the side? Is it kind of all the same sort of material? Like, is it hardened up top and softer on the outside?
No, you basically have the same PVC construction. So the tube material / you know, deck material and the floor material is a 30 by 1000 denier PVC fabric. And then inside the drop stitch, you have the actual drop stitch material, which is really just the threads that are glued to those top and bottom layers of fabric. And then your side tubes are the same.
Okay.
Cool. So they look a little bit different, but no, it's really the same material, which is the same thing we make, you know, whitewater rafts out of. You know, it's really durable. That's another big hurdle we've had to come over as a inflatable boat manufacturer, is that perception of durability. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of depending on where you are geographically and your familiarity with inflatable boats, some regions were quicker to adopt than others. Right. Mm-hmm. Brad, I know you and I were talking about our mutual friend, Jeff Little, and the video he was doing, you know, trying to show us that how to get a fish hook to puncture the side tube on arrival. And Jeff's what, 6'3"? I mean, he's a giant man. Yeah. And he had to, you know, hold those pliers and put all of his weight behind it in order to puncture it. Like, it's, you know, whether you're hitting a fish hook or going over an oyster bed, it's really, really hard to rip, tear, puncture, slice mm-hmm. this fabric. But if you do, you know, the beauty of an inflatable versus, again, a rigid boat is that if you do manage to break this thing in some way, you're just, it's not hard to patch a boat. You know, we're not mm-hmm. talking about plastic welding, like cracking a plastic yeah. boat. It is, you know, you're going to put a patch on there and have the exact same integrity that you had mm-hmm. Before, where obviously we know when we start welding plastic, we're never going to have that same yeah. structural integrity.
That's a good point. And I think a lot of people don't realize that this Rival has three chambers of air too. So if you do puncture one, you're still going to float.
You're not sinking.
Until you can get to the bank and then repair it on the bank.
Which is a great point, is yeah. the fact that you can make the repair there.
Yeah.
You know, on the river.
Yeah, on the river.
Jeff Little did it in his video in like 57 seconds.
Yeah. And depending on what you've actually done and how much you need to really repair it. I mean, you know, again, as a whitewater raft guide, I have done some numbers on some rafts over the years that required major raft repair situations on the side of rivers. But even so, we're talking about a matter of hours. And those are, you know, big giant tears in the side of a raft tube. Almost anything that you would manage to do on something like this, you could slap a patch on and get you to a point where you are getting home, mm-hmm. no problem. You know, throw some Tear-Aid on there, and you know you can do the big, you know, major patch back in your garage when you get home. But Tear-Aid's yeah. going to get you all the way. I mean, heck, I've done duct tape. you know, I've fixed boats with crazy situations. So yeah, they're great. And, you know, there's the thing I love about it anymore. You look at all of these rigid boats, and I think, you know, Eric Jackson's kind of going after it with that Apex line. Mm-hmm. The decks are getting more and more cluttered, right? There's just yeah. more and more stuff on there and shapes and forms. And I love the clean lines of these inflatable sit on tops. You know, there's plenty of room to throw a crate behind you, a cooler, a well if you have one. You know, the daisy chains, you can rig for days, and then we put, you know, what you're looking at right there on the screen right now is our wreck model of the Star Rival. The Rival Fish is going to have the Yak Attack switch pad flexible surface mounts on there. So yep. I think you get five on the Rival Fish and the Challenger. And so you can really rig that thing out as much as you can rig any other, you know, inflatable watercraft. I've seen everything on there, depth finders and yeah. and so on.
So the way I got mine set up now, I've been keeping it real simple on the river lately. So I'll bring three or four rods, and I'll have a book bag with just two tackle boxes in the back. And, on those switch pads that you were mentioning a few minutes ago, I put Yak Attack rod stagers. They allow me to put my rods horizontal.
Oh yeah.
Parallel with the boat. So you don't get them caught up in the trees hanging behind you and stuff like that. But man, that has, like, I've only had it out three times, but like, I feel like the frustration of like kayak fishing that I was doing this whole year has like completely gone away with this boat.
Simplicity, yep. Right? Just keeping it easy. And granted, I mean, you know, with five deck mounts, you know, you can mount rails on there. I mean, you can go as big as you want. I'm with you, probably because I'm not a very good angler. Simplicity is key for me. Like, if I have to start rigging lots and lots of stuff and making it a big to do, I'm just not gonna go. Like, I'm not that good of a fisherman. You know, I'm just not going to go. If it's right. that big of a hassle, I'm not going to do it. I got two kids. Like, I don't have all day for this. And that's what I love about the Rival Fish, is that it keeps it simple for me. You know, I don't have to worry about pulling a trailer. I don't have to worry about, mm-hmm. you know, everything. I can just throw it in the back of my truck, and I'm at the river in, you know, 15 minutes. I'm right here in Lebanon, Ohio. I can get out to the South Lebanon, put in for the Little Miami in 7 minutes. Yep. So I can go at the spur of the moment, right? Just really, yeah. literally whip it in the back of my truck, throw one strap across the stern handle, and I'm on my way. Yep. Piece of cake.
And that's the thing with I had a heavy kayak before, and I had like the bow mount and everything. And it got to the point where I was like, I don't even want to get it out today. And there'd be times where I wouldn't go fishing because I'm like, I just don't want to drag it.
Yeah. It's just a lot, you know? And it's funny because I think that's where, like, that's why kayak fishing started to get exciting and started to become really popular, right? Was because we had these smaller boats. We were more mobile. We could do more with them. They were more versatile. And then suddenly, it's just another bass boat, right? Yeah. Like, we've got a motor on the back. We've got one on the front. We've got all of the electronics. We've got all of these mounts. We've got, you know, and suddenly you're like, man, now I've got $9,000 sunk into this thing. I might as well just go buy a tracker. Like,
yeah. But I mean, that's just the influence of tournaments. You know, when it hit, when kayak fishing and the tournament scene blew up, it's always going to add to it. Cause
yeah, once you start making money.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, but it's like you guys mentioned though, a lot of people who tend to do tournaments start taking it more and more serious. So they want to have more and more rods rigged up because it's more efficient. The more cast you can make, you know, I don't have to sit there and tie on baits.
Yeah.
And then you start venturing in from what we used to kind of start out doing, which is smaller bodies of water. And then these tournaments are showing up on Lake Fork or, you know, all these big Lake Erie, you know, you name it. It gets bigger and bigger. So those bigger kayaks have their place.
Sure.
But
the ocean,
you know.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Me, personally, I am not going to go throw a Hobie or even a Jackson Big Rig pedal drive out on the river. I have no desire to do that whatsoever. Yeah. I'd rather just get in a boat that I can paddle and is somewhat manageable, you know, as far as weight wise. I mean, and I have a trailer and we have access points like that, but
of course,
me and Brad love the further away you can get from the norm, you know, the further away you can get from those boat launch river spots,
dams,
and stuff like, yeah, and the dams, yeah, and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, now you're an adventure angler. You're exactly, yeah, the kind of person that we're talking about with these, yeah, NRS products.
Yeah, and it's the reason a lot of us got into it, and you just kind of get involved in the other things. I mean, Brad was fishing tournaments. I mean, that's why he's been back and forth with so many different kayaks, because he's like, one minute he's like, yeah, I'm going to do the tournaments, and the next he's like, I don't really have a need for this. I'm going to downgrade again, and then he's like, oh, maybe I will, and then maybe I won't. So it's hard because you want to just have one for every scenario.
Yeah. You know? And I was trying to cater. I was trying to cater to both, and I was having trouble doing that.
Yeah. It's very hard to do that. I mean, yeah, I have a Jackson Kilroy HD, and the boat's great in the river, and I love it. And I can fit my kids in it. And I'm like, this thing's awesome. And then I go to move it, and I'm like, yeah, but yet it's still 95 pounds. Like, it's, you know, it's still
massive.
Heavy kayak. Yeah.
They're massive. And that's, I think, you know, and this is not, you know, the Rival, the Challenger. These are not the first inflatable kayaks that NRS has made. Right. And, you know, we've been selling inflatable watercraft on these same ideas for a very long time. Inflatable kayaks have been in this position for a long time, which is, you know, portability, durability, and storability. Right. I mean, you know, you want to see me at a put-in, and I will literally take that Challenger. If I have it on the roof rack of my truck, which is 8.5 feet high, give or take, I will just throw it off. You know, yeah, I don't care. I can literally just throw it off, and it'll bounce in the parking lot, like into the bushes, whatever. It's fine. The boat's fine. And, you know, we used to live when I was in grad school, we lived in downtown Baltimore, Maryland, and lived in a tiny row home. And I probably had 15 boats in our basement, boats and boards in our basement. Like that would be completely impossible with, with rigid boats. Right. You know, my wife, the joke is always, you know, how many kayaks do you really need, Blake? Just one more. Usually applies to beers too, but I hope she's not listening. I think that's what it is, right? You know, you talk about being able to get this thing to the water without a roof rack, without a trailer, being able to store it, whether that's in your suburban house, your country estate, your condominium, in South Beach, you know, wherever it might be, on your sailboat, your RV, you know, van life is everything now, right? Mm-hmm. I just think it just whether it's your primary watercraft or something else in your quiver, I think inflatables really do have a place river, on the water, for sure.
We've seen a giant explosion that happened due to COVID. And I love, there's this, that's the biggest positive I want to kind of you see. It's just the outdoor industry exploded because, you know, everything's shut down and people are like, we don't want to sit around in the house, you know, especially because when everything really started shutting down last year was right when the weather's breaking. And, you know, I think everybody found a new thing, you know, for a lot of people who were cool with sitting around in the house or just sitting on their back porch. But then they're like, man, I'm here all day. I don't go to work. I'm working from home.
Yeah.
I want to leave the house, but I can't go inside anywhere. So let's
go to a restaurant. Can't go to a movies. Mm-hmm. Can't take my kids to a museum or an amusement park or whatever. Like,
and the beauty, let's go hiking. Yeah. And the beauty of these inflatables is that you don't need a lot of things to get yourself out there. You just need the boat, the life jacket, and the paddle. And then you're on your way, and it doesn't matter if you're in a Ford Fiesta or a Ford F-150 or whatever. You know what I mean? That's my biggest thing I love about it, because, you know, even a stand-up paddleboard, like a rigid one, a big plastic one, it's not the easiest thing to move around, you know?
And they're still like 55 pounds too.
Right. And it's, you know, it just opens so many doors to so many different types of people. It doesn't have to be fishing. You know, this is
not at all.
Yeah. It's a rec thing, you know, and it's like, get out on the water, people will be surprised at what they see in their backyards, you know? And that's why I love the river so much. It's like, you know, Brad and I live in a suburban area. Yeah. I mean, you're just south of us, you know, and it's, you know how it is between Cincinnati and Dayton. There is mainly suburbs, and eventually I think Cincinnati and Dayton is going to be connected by suburbs.
We're really close, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, there's not much in between.
If you go down 75, you're going through suburbs, and you know, you might be able to go east or west a little bit, you know, not very far, but you know, they've always talked about, you know, it connecting eventually, and it sort of has. But the beauty of it is that you can get that backcountry feel when you get out on the river, you know, and.
Well, especially here, we have the scenic rivers. I mean, it's amazing how this is a cool spot. We just moved back, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Josh.
Oh, you're fine. Like,
I got to tell you, people gave me a lot of grief, right? Like you're an outdoor rep. You're moving from the Chesapeake Bay to the middle of Cincinnati and Dayton, Ohio. Like that's where you're going to move to. And I'm like, do you understand how awesome the Little Miami and the Great Miami Rivers are?
Yeah.
What amazing resources we have between these two cities. Like, if you want to get on the water, it is very doable here. I like this place. Sorry. Yeah. No. Please go on. I'm sorry.
It's the, you know, you've seen the explosion of the stand-up paddleboard. Mm-hmm. You've seen the explosion of the kayak industry. Fishing or just recreation-wise. And the inflatable game, I think, is just going to keep blowing up. I really think, and I think it's going to be.
That was the best pun of the night. Thank you. I don't know if you meant to do it or not, but that was fantastic.
But it's, but what I was sitting there thinking, because I've seen some of the different stuff that's come out, and it's just, it's going to be like what we saw with a rigid kayak, a regular plastic kayak. I think you're going to start seeing crazy cool designs. There's going to be a lot of innovation, and you know, you're going to be eventually, I say probably in the next 5-6 years, it's going to be like almost like we see now. Like, how crazy do you want to go with it? You know, like, like, do you want just a little, like, you know, stand up paddleboard, or are you looking at a Hobie style inflatable, you know? And it's, you know, it'll be cool to see what comes out. I'm excited.
Hobie's already putting pedal drives in their inflatable kayaks, yep. Right? I mean, Hobie's doing some incredible stuff, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna sit here and ring the NRS bell as much as you guys will let me while I'm here, but it's not just us driving this train. You know, there are a lot of manufacturers that are out there getting on board and pushing this thing, and you know, we're the first to be excited about that because. Mm-hmm. You know, as they say, a rising tide floats all ships. And so we love to see this inflatable tidal wave coming. It's great. We're thrilled. And you know, and I think to your point too, Josh, like, it's going to be kind of like rigid boats, you know, where we got everything from blow molded, you know, $300 options that people that are really, really serious about boating probably aren't going to want to get involved with, but that still make kayaking and paddling in water accessible to a group of people who otherwise wouldn't have been able to get to it. Right.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Am I going to have a Sun Dolphin in my garage? Absolutely not. Am I thrilled to see them being sold in stores and seeing people getting on the water that wouldn't otherwise have done it, because there's no way they're going to buy $1,000 Hobie or Bonafide or whatever. Yeah, man, that's awesome. Like, I love to see that. I'm glad those other manufacturers are out there. I'm glad we're getting people on the water, because people in our position, I think that's where we are, right? Like, we're seeing one of the greatest resurgences in people going outside and recreating in the mm-hmm. outdoors that we've seen, you know, in our lifetimes. This is probably the biggest creator of outdoor enthusiasts that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, it happened in the 60s and the 70s, and this is our new big resurgence. And I'm thrilled for it. And I think it is our responsibility as people that know what we're doing to not only encourage that, but make mm-hmm. sure that we're not doing anything that would shame somebody and keep them from getting on the water and coming and recreating with us. Right. Like,
right.
I think, you know, granted, again, like I said, please buy an NRS boat or a Star inflatable. That's going to be the way that you're going to be happiest in life. And you will never reach that pinnacle of happiness. But if you must settle for something slightly below that, just get out on the water and play. Take your kids out and play. You know, that's what we can do. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing that comes out of this very trying time for our country and our planet. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, families are going to go outside and recreate again. And Josh, you have kids. Brad, you're on the way. I know it's just a matter of time, right? But you know, I think that's one of the greatest joys in life is getting to share the outdoors with your family. And that's clearly the lemonade of the lemons we've all been served for the last 2 years. I for one am pretty thrilled about it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Let's go into back to the NRS line. And I wanted to ask some questions, like, what is a consumer expected to receive in their box when they purchase a Rival?
Yeah, great question. So you're going to get the boat and then like a high five. No. So what's in the box? You're going to get the boat. You are going to get the cool carry bag that it comes with. So a zippered suitcase bag. Brad, you've seen that. Mm-hmm. This thing is awesome because it is what's going to protect us when we're traveling. So again, one of my favorite things about these watercraft is my ability to travel with them. So I'm taking them on airplanes all the time. And I love it, right? Normally I would fly somewhere and have to rent a boat, borrow a boat, find a friend, whatever. Now I can check this thing right through and no added baggage fees and anything like that. So boat, pump, repair kit all comes in the bag. I think you only get the one fin in the boat. Is that right, Brad? Just the one skeg, which you can choose to use or not. And then we also, you know, you can buy other fins. We know we make the 1-inch shorty fins. We make a grass fin. We make some kind of mid-range all water fins if you're getting in the shallower water. So like Great Miami River, you could probably use the skeg and not have any issues almost anywhere on the water. Little Miami River, you have anything more than a 2-inch fin, especially this time of year, you know, you're gonna catch that thing here and there. And really all that's giving you is the ability to track through the water. So on the river, you know, narrower, smaller, skinny water rivers, not as big of an issue. When you start talking about, you know, paddling on open water, big lakes, stuff like that, you're going to want to have that tracking ability. As awesome as it was for you to flick your wrist one time and spin the boat 180 degrees and make that cast, that's fantastic. Unless you're on a lake and every time you take a paddle stroke, you're going, and then that skeg really comes in handy. And then you get our seat. And fun fact, the seat is easy to come off. So if you're using it for a multi-day trip, it's also a great campfire seat to be using. So you don't have to bring an extra chair along.
Yeah. It's actually a pretty comfortable seat too.
It's a pretty comfortable seat. The first ones were not. Our prototypes were terrible. Oh my God. And I'm not a small man. And I broke a couple, but the new ones are much better and, pretty comfortable seat. And it goes great with the NRS Chinook. The pillow sits right on top of that, man. You know,
I was thinking about that the other day, actually. And I sat back in the seat and I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't affect it at all. That's nice.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Man, shout out to the Chinook. That's what got NRS into the fishing game in the first place.
Yep.
I remember winning mine at the Little Miami River tournament they canceled. They ended up being the Cowan Lake Loveland tournament that Brad won, and I ended up winning my Chinook from the shop, actually, before I got on the team. I was one of the door prizes, and I was like, oh, I wanted a new one of these because I had the Stolquist Keeper, which I liked it. It was killing my back, man. I would be okay for about 2 or 3 hours. And if I went longer than that from where it pushes you forward slightly, it drove me crazy. And since I've got the Chinook, I've never looked back, and I love that thing, man. I love the pockets. I love all the weird stuff that thing does that you half people don't even know when we had you guys on before and we talked about it, and it was a great episode. But
right, yeah, the built-in rod holder, that's always the biggest surprise of the day, right? I love the built-in rod holder. I can't tell you, I've stepped on a lot of rods. I'm big dumb animal, folks, ask my wife. And I break them. Don't set it. You don't have to set them down ever again. You don't have to set it down ever again.
I found it handy when I'm off the kayak waiting. You know, I'll just put it right
absolutely
there. Start tying. You know, it's nice.
Yeah, that's it, man. I definitely use that rod holder a lot more waiting and walking around on shore than I do. Yeah. I mean, never using it in the boat when I'm sitting.
Right.
But yeah, like, you know, it's when I get out and wade and walk. Because inevitably I'll get to the shore or whatever and then set it down and do whatever I'm doing. It's something stupid inevitably, and then come back and.
Yeah. I have an idea. I have a little idea.
Oh, I want to hear
it. Guys, integrate a GoPro mount into it.
Ooh.
Something like something that's rigid, that's plastic, it can snap onto, and then you don't have to worry about somebody having to wear the the chest straps and stuff over your jacket.
Hey, Rex de Guzman, if you're listening, I want you to get that action cap mount rigged for the Chinook. Let's get on that, buddy. That sounds like a great product for Rex to make. Fresh fish, baby. Love that guy. Yeah, dude, that's a great idea.
Yeah, I think
I never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you could rig something up, but it'd be kind of cool that if it's integrated into it, you know, sewn into it, where you know that it's there, it's good, it's not going to go anywhere, you know.
I feel like something that would just clip onto the lash tab would be a good option for that, right? Like, I mean, do you guys rig a knife on your lash tab? I haven't rigged a knife on one of my lash tabs in years.
I did. I have an NRS Pilot, and it was really nice. Funny is the first time I put it handle side up, and I was like, this is the most annoying thing I've ever realized, because that handle just hit me.
And it's sharp on that end, too. It's pokey.
It's like a bottle opener, isn't it, on that end? And I'm like, what?
Well, it has like a glass punch on it. On the Pilot, it has a glass punch on the end. I remember I used to have that on my whitewater skirt, and I kept my whitewater vest, and it was rubbing holes in my spray skirts. And that's when the Co-Pilot came out, because I was like, this knife is great. But it is untenable. It is. It's like a machete. It's why is it so big? In the co-pilot solved all my problems. And now I'm a Nico guy personally. But
yeah. I flipped it upside down, and the best part was trying to get it off of that. I'm like, I had to get like a screwdriver out and have somebody else actually
pry and slide.
Yeah, it wasn't the easiest thing. But I was like, dude, as much as I wanted to complain about it, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, that's what I want, though. I want to know
it's designed to not come off, right?
Yeah, it's not going to come off. You know, it's secure. It's there. It's not sliding off. But I finally flipped it upside down. I mean, there's pictures like where I'm like, why is your head always tilted?
I used to love the guys that would rig their on the whitewater vest. They would rig their knife handle side up, like right here. So they were like drawing the knife like out of their vest, like past their neck, and I'm like, yeah, that's great, Excalibur, like enjoy your river rescue with your sliced jugular.
Oh man.
You can do people a lot of good with that, but no, I think something going the last time would be a good idea, maybe.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that, like, because it's it'd be a great feature in there, man. It's something I've been like, do I want to do it a chest mount or a hat mount? And I just can never figure it out. So I end up not doing neither one of them. So,
yeah.
Trust me. I mean, I'm glad I can't figure out a place to mount my GoPro, because doesn't anybody want to watch me just fumble with knots and these big dumb banana fingers trying to tie stuff? It's terrible. It's not good TV, guys. It's not good TV.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brad. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to go back to the bag. I saw the bag. The first thing that popped in my head was AEP. And Josh knows what you might know what it is too. AEP is a recreational land with a bunch of ponds and stuff. Oh, I'm like, okay.
AEP.
AEP. That place would be perfect for this thing. Mm-hmm. And I've never gone there because I've always had these heavy kayaks. I'm like, I'm not carrying that through the woods, but I got plans to go next year with this inflatable. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
I mean, that's it, right? It's again, that is the epitome of the adventure angler that we are really designing these products for. It's for the person that wants to take a boat into water that they would not otherwise be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Now, while we're talking about this, so I don't forget, we do have those Yak Attack switch pads on there. So listeners, mm-hmm. I want to be very clear. Those switch pads will take accessories from a variety of manufacturers, right? Whether it's Yak Attack, Railblaze, Scotty, but those accessories will come with their own screws. Make sure you get onto NRS.com and look at the screw sizes you should be using. If you use too long of a screw into that switch pad, you will puncture the side tube below the switch pad. And it is really hard to fix. And it is not covered by warranty. So get on there and make sure you check out. We put it right on the NRS website, Yak Attack, Mighty Mount Switch, or Railblades of Starport HD. Use the 1/4 20 by 5/8 screws. If you're doing the Scotty side deck mounts, use 1/4 by 20 by 7/8 screws. Just go on there and look.
I'm glad you
save you a lot of grief later. It's a big mistake. Yeah. It's happened before.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I heard it from Jeff Little on his video, so I knew before I even got the rival, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, he said, make sure to use the smaller screws with the Yak Attack. So I was like, all right.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, I think Yak Attack started putting both sets of screws in the in their kits, which is super helpful. I think Scotty probably will too, and Railblaze will get on board because we're not the only inflatable manufacturer out there. But yeah, that is a a big whoopsies.
And those Yak Attack switch pads, it's nothing more than a Mighty Mount gear track. That's all it is. It's like a 3 or 4 inch gear track. So any of your accessories that you can put in a gear track, you can use on it. The Anchor Wizard won't work just because the body's too big. So you might have to, you know, put two switch pads and then a gear track on top of those. But
well, and the great thing about that boat, I mean, yes, it comes with 5 switch pads, but there is nothing in the world preventing you from gluing 5 more on.
Yeah. And it looks easy too.
It's super easy. I mean, again, we've been gluing stuff on the rafts for a long time. It is not hard to put a switch pad onto one of those tubes. So same thing. And if you like the cleaner lines of, say, you know, the Rival or another inflatable kayak that's not the Rival fish, and you only want, you know, 1 or 2 of those switch pads, you can do that too. That's a great product.
Here's a good one. What glue do you recommend for gluing those?
I think on that, because it's PVC, your best option is using StayBond. That's like a 2-part glue that will give you the best bond between, because basically you're gluing rubber onto PVC. So StayBond's really good for those like different materials gluing together.
Okay.
And a lot of that stuff you can find on NRS.com as well. Pick up the phone, call our repairs team, call our call center. You will always get somebody on the phone if you call during business hours. We don't have an automated phone tree system. Our folks there would love to talk you through that. These guys just, and gals, just live and breathe boating all day long, and they love talking this stuff. So give them a call. Everybody, you know, when I was a young salesperson at NRS, the vast majority of our business was done over the phone. You know, we were still a catalog company, and the website was a very, very small part of our business. I can't tell you, I was in my early 20s. I remember laying under my desk on like a Saturday morning, like mega hungover, just with a headset on and like slapping my phone on my chest, like, thank you for calling NRS. How can I help you? And then talking about voting with people for hours. But, no, these guys and gals are fantastic, and would be happy to walk you through some of that stuff. But yeah, StayBond is the answer.
Sweet.
Is there a gauge, a PSI gauge on the pump, so they're aware?
That's right. There is one on the pump. It is one of those pieces that likes to get broken before the actual functionality of the pump, but we can replace it for you. Yeah, there is a pressure gauge on there that works great. Again, you're going to do about 8 to 10 PSI on that floor and 3 on the side tubes. Same thing if you're doing the Pike. The Pike is a similar construction. It's more of a traditional inflatable kayak style. So your tubes go all the way around and the floor sits a little lower. But same thing on that one.
Cool. So there's I noticed, I haven't played with it yet, but there's two functions on the pump. Can you go through that?
Yeah, so it's a two-stage pump, and you've got a big high-volume plunger that's in there. And so that's great for your side tubes. That'll get your side tubes up to 2.5-3 PSI, and what would you say, Brad? 45 seconds per tube, give or take?
Yeah, if that,
Yeah, I mean, it's fast, right? It pushes a lot of air. But when you're doing that that floor, you know, you're trying to get to 8 PSI. And so up to about 3-4 PSI, that big plunger is good. But after that, it starts getting really hard to push that big plunger down. So you push the button on and it goes to the high pressure. So you're pushing less air, but it's a smaller diameter. So you get to that, you know, 4 to 8, 10 PSI relatively quickly. So that's it, right? It's your high volume versus high pressure settings on that pump.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even use it the first time I pumped it up, and I saw it after the fact. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that is why it's called the Super 2 pump.
Yeah.
So that's two stages.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm sorry, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, we are winding down, but I was going to let you say whatever you're going to say real quick.
Oh, I think if you're using that pump, it takes probably, I don't know, 10 to 15 minutes to inflate that boat. So again, you're still, even if you're taking, you know, it takes a little bit of extra time when you get to the water. I still think compared to dropping in with the trailer, it's a relatively quick process getting that boat inflated.
And that's one of the myths that people have with inflatables too. They think you have to deflate every time you're like going somewhere. I haven't had to deflate yet. I'll throw it in the back of my truck and strap it in, you know. I'll
absolutely
get on the water. I'm on the water within 5 minutes.
No, I mean, yeah, if you have a small car, then you're probably going to have to deflate it and roll it up. But if you've got a pickup truck or an SUV, you can throw it right in the back. It's easy to throw onto factory roof racks even. You don't need to do any kind of additional stuff on there. I will say, if you're storing it inflated, you would do well, if you live in extreme climates, to not leave that like out in the sun and the heat and all that kind of stuff. UV degradation is a thing, but also, you know, those boats are held together with adhesives. And anybody who's put their feet up by a campfire time or two will have had the soles of their shoes melt off from getting too hot. Yep. So if you're in those southern climates and it's, you know, reaching 100 degrees in the summertime and your boat's sitting out in the backyard, don't be surprised if you leave it inflated at full pressure and you start to see some seam failure on that thing.
Yeah.
You know, that can absolutely happen. So, you know, try to keep it in the shade, keep it in cooler storage if you can. Probably won't happen too much here, but.
Right. Is it better to deflate it slightly?
I do like to deflate it a little bit, you know. Okay. I think on that floor at 8 to 10 PSI, it's probably fine, right? Like a SUP that you're keeping at 15 to 20 PSI, I definitely bleed some air when I'm storing it. I would say on these, the side tubes are more important to deflate and bleed than the floor. So, and again, that's one of those things where that's the easiest part to inflate. It just takes a few pumps with that big high volume side to get those back up. So if it were me, and I'm keeping it relatively inflated, I'm going to drop those side tubes down, you know, a lot of the way. You don't have to drain them all the way, but, you know, when things are sitting out in the sun and it's hot, that air is getting hotter and hotter inside that chamber. It's going to continue to expand. So if you're at max and then you leave it out in the sun, that's the recipe for a blown seam.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
So, you, Josh, if you didn't have anything else, I was going to kind of wind it down.
Yeah.
Okay. I just quickly wanted to go over like some of the myths behind inflatables, because people are worried about durability and dragging and hitting a rock and stuff like that. Is there anything you could offer in advice for that?
We have been running inflatable watercraft down some of the most challenging whitewater rivers in the world for, going on 70 years now, since people started taking World War II surplus life rafts down the Grand Canyon and Western rivers. There is very little that you can throw at one of these boats that's really going to beat it up. But if you get to the point where you do, if you do manage to puncture this thing on a sharp rock or stick or whatever, you're not paying attention or whatever, you can fix them really, really easily. It comes with a patch kit. We sell extra materials and glues. We have all kinds of step-by-step tutorials. There are companies that specialize in inflatable watercraft repair. But yeah, if you do manage to hurt it, you can fix it relatively easily. But it takes a lot. I've seen rafts, you know, wrapped around rocks in whitewater rivers just getting slammed. Mm-hmm. And then you finally get that thing off of there and all I can do is pump it back up again. It takes quite a bit.
How do you feel about dragging them across the ground to get to water?
Generally speaking, I'm going to advise against that. That's okay. You know, you wouldn't drag your backpack. You wouldn't drag, right, you know, anything else that you own, honestly. You shouldn't drag your plastic boat either.
No. I can't stand it when people are like, oh, these kayak companies need to reinforce the bottom because I drag my kayak up and down the boat ramp. And it's like, hey, what? Like, I did that one time and it was the biggest mistake I ever made and realized, like, literally on the first time I almost dragged a hole in it. Yeah. And it wasn't by choice. I was like frustrated and I was like, I'm leaving. And then I didn't even think about it. And I ran up with it behind me and realized, man, I couldn't have dragged it across a worse surface, which was a ramp. And you know how a lot of times
they're all like corrugated.
They're corrugated and it's rougher because they want you to have traction on it. And yeah. I mean, I see people do it all the time. They just drag it and they're like, I don't understand why I have a hole in it. I'm like, I have perfect understanding why you have a hole in it.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably get away with it a lot of times. And again, it's a lot lighter. So it'll probably hold up to it better than a heavier boat would. But yeah, I would not recommend dragging it. There are a multitude of boat carts available to you if you are paddling solo and you can't figure out a way to carry that 31-pound boat all by yourself. There are a lot of options available to you. They're called boat carts, and you should invest in one. It's definitely worth it's good insurance policy.
It's especially if your inflatable ends up looking like Jeff Little's, then you're definitely going to need a boat cart.
Yeah. When you have all of those things on there, you're going to need a boat cart for sure. Jeff's boat does not weigh 31 pounds.
Well, even with all that stuff, it probably only weighs 60.
Yeah. And Lord knows Jeff can pick it up because he, you know, moonlights as the Hulk or whatever he does. But his hair is so good right now too. I've been trying to grow mine out to kind of emulate him, but he's so handsome. But he's probably super uncomfortable if he listens to this right now.
I don't think he listens to this. It's all
good. I don't think he gets uncomfortable, frankly. Boat carts. Like you said, you can get them heavy. But I would not recommend dragging them.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on. It's been fun.
Gosh, guys, thank you so much for having me. Hey, we're local. Let's do this thing. You guys I am always good for your ego, I assure you. I'm a good fishing partner in that way.
I need to hit the Little Miami more. It's been a couple years, I think. So
come on down, man. There's smallies and a few other things in there. It's kind of boring right now. Let's wait till the spring when there's some actually water in it.
Yeah.
It got some water moving in it. It didn't go up very high, but
yeah, it got muddy last week. Yeah.
Real muddy. I was actually up in John Bryan State Park.
I saw that.
That's what we're doing. All right. We're taking inflatables and we're going up to the gorge and we're
Coach Clifton Gorge and inflatables.
We're not supposed to be.
That sounds fun.
Hey, ODNR. I know you're not listening, but my policy has always been with you guys. It's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Absolutely.
That's funny, man. Well, you got
interested for the ticket.
Yeah. You want to let anybody know where they can follow you and all that good stuff?
Oh yeah, they don't want to follow me, but if you are so inclined, I am Bling Blake on Twitter and Bling_Blake on Instagram, and I'd love to see you. Come on, hang out. I mostly talk about comic books and movies, though, so it's not a lot of fishing stuff.
it's all good. We all got our hobbies.
Check out NRS, guys. It's not just life jackets. They make so much stuff. I mean, you guys make bilge pumps, life jackets, boats, knives. Like, it's just, the list goes on and on. Tri suits,
threads like these.
Yes. I mean, yeah, me and Brad, one of me and Brad's favorite shirts is the Vagrial, right?
Yep. I need that shirt you're wearing too. The one you wore the other day too.
Yeah, man. Awesome. This is the same one. It's just different color. It's like, I only have like seasonal uniforms.
We're gonna shop at Blake's.
That's right. Come on over. I got samples. You guys come on down. You guys will fit them. NRS.com. We'd love to see you guys there. Come check it out and say what's up.
All right. Brad, anything else, bud?
Nope. Good episode, man.
Yeah. Thank you again, Blake. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We will see you next week and take care.
See ya.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddlenfin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddlenfin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler. The Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
You're listening to the Waypoint Podcast Network, brought to you in part by HuntStand, the number one hunting and land management app.